which could help you in your inner development and inner life. It's very nice to see all of you. Do you also notice it was a monsoon of Krishna Katha? Sometimes in my mind I'm thinking, our retreats are more marathons. And at least for a person like myself, they are service intensive. So I'm very happy that it went so well, and that I think we are discovering the great value of hearing from various perspectives about Krishna's pastimes. I liked very much the approach of our Keshava Maharaj, who really brought out what could help us in our journey to Vrindavan. And also Hari Parshad's presentation was excellent. He really brought us into the depths of our tradition. So this morning I will just leave you with a parting message, so to say, where I will first of all talk about the need to remember Krishna and then give some hints how that could be done. So we will, I just need one document here. I think it's here. Yes, it's here. I have everything. This is, let me just see. Yes, it is also here. Fine. Jaya Radha Madhava Gunyavi Adi Madhava Gunyavi Adi Gopi Dana Vallava Girivaradari Gopi Dana Vallava Girivaradari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Dhyana dhamad ava kunya vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hey, Bo.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada.
Hi, Bo!
Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radhe. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Today we will be reading a very, very famous verse. It is from the Padma Purana. Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Very kind of you. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. This is so famous that we will immediately chant it. Let's first invoke mercy of Lord Vasudev. No. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Everyone. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Smatavya satatam Vishnur.
Smatavya satatam Vishnur.
Vismatavyo na jatu che.
Vismatavyo na jatu che.
Sarve vidini she dasyo.
Sarve vidini she dasyo.
Etayore vakinkara. Smatavya satatam Vishnu.
Smatavya satatam Vishnu.
Vismatavyo na jatu che.
Vismatavyo na jatu che.
Sarve vidhi nishedasyo.
Sarve vidhi nishedasyo.
Etayore vakinkara.
Etayore vakinkara.
Yes. Please, someone else.
Smatavya satatam Vishnu.
Smatavya satatam Vishnu.
Smatavya
na jatu che. Sarve vidhi nishedasyo.
Thank you. A Vaishnavi, please.
Smatavya satatam Vishnu. Smatavya na jatu che. Sarve vidhi nishedasyo. Etayore vakinkara.
Thank you very much. I'm a little aware of the time and therefore will go quite quickly to the text. Please repeat after me. Smatavyaha.
Smatavyaha.
To be remembered.
Remembered.
Satatam.
Satatam.
Always. Vishnuhu.
Vishnuhu.
Lord Vishnu.
Lord Vishnu.
Vismatavyaha.
To be forgotten.
Na. Not. Jatu chet.
At any time.
Sarve.
All.
Vidinishedaha. Rules and prohibitions mentioned in the revealed scriptures. Or given by the spiritual master. Yuhu should be etayoho of these two principles. Eva certainly kinkara the servants. Yes. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be the servants of these two principles. Kindly let us recall, what are the two principles? Yeah. It's quite clear, isn't it? Purport. This verse is a quotation from the Padma Purana. There are many regulative principles in the Shastras and directions given by the spiritual master. These regulations and regulative principles should act as servants of the basic principle, that is, one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. Mm-hmm. This is possible. It's interesting how Prabhupada puts this now. Please listen to this. It shows some real deep considerations. This is possible when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra 24 hours daily. Because, remember, the rationale here is to always remember Krishna, never forget him. That means at all times, no? One should be mindful of Krishna. And Prabhupada says, if this is possible, if you chant Hare Krishna like most of the Hare Krishna devotees, perhaps we must chant differently. Mindful of Krishna, we must chant. Chant and remember Krishna, no? Be in Krishna's presence. One may have other duties to perform under the direction of the spiritual master, but he must first abide by the spiritual master's order to chant a certain number of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have recommended that the neophyte, the beginner, chant at least 16 rounds a day. This chanting of 16 rounds is absolutely necessary if one wants to remember Krishna and not forget him. Of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential. One may sell books or enlist life members or render some other service, but these duties are not ordinary duties. These duties serve as an impetus for remembering Krishna. Acha, so here we learn also when we do the various different duties, then it is for remembering Krishna. I must confess to you personally that as I'm now growing a little slightly older, I'm sometimes overwhelmed with the sheer number, or let us say the sheer volume of service. Sometimes I think, how long can I continue doing my life in this pace? And also this morning I was just so tired that I stood in the bathroom and I had to tell myself, okay, now let's remember, what do we do in this room? I was so tired so what was it? First this, then this, oh my God, that's a lot. So this is meaning overcrowded, being an individual has too much to do. But then I remembered, Sachinandan Swami, just remember, you're doing all these cleanliness rules and hygienic things now. to be fit for your service for Krishna. And then you have the opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness and be there for the devotees as much as possible. And this is service for Krishna. And you can remember Krishna while you do this. And all of a sudden I became so enthusiastic. It was my very, very effective and fast morning program. I could do everything very fast. It's very important that also during your ordinary duties, during your ordinary services, you understand I'm doing this for Krishna and remembering Krishna. Then you will get the force. Prabhupada talks about a service which was really very prominent at the time he wrote this book. He said, when one goes with a Sankirtan party or sells books, he naturally remembers that he's going to sell Krishna's books. In this way, he's remembering Krishna. When one goes to enlist a life member, he talks about Krishna and thereby remembers him. Smarta vya satatam Vishnu vismarta vyo na jatuchit. The conclusion is that one must act in such a way that he will always remember Krishna. And one must refrain from doing things that make him forget Krishna. These two principles form the basic background of Krishna consciousness. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Vachayani Avashesa Sunyavari Vaskatyade Satayane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadaha Sivasadi Gopaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear devotees, perhaps 7 years ago, Bhujan Prabhu and myself sat at a beautiful place in a forest near Govardhan. We were actually facing Govardhan Hill. It was time for both of us to say goodbye from Giriraj. We had conducted a 2 week long seminars. There were 2 seminars, one on the holy name and one on Krishna Katha. He had talked from the Bhagavatam and I had talked from, I forgot which Goswami's scripture, about Krishna. And yes, and that beautiful time came to an end. And we sat there, two devotees of Krishna who tried to serve since many years in our spiritual master. And Bhujan Prabhu said something which I thought a lot about this. He said, I have observed you. And I became immediately very interested because he has a very keen observant. He is knowing also lots of things. He knows our scriptures very well. Plus he knows psychology very well and many things. He's a wise man. You have to get to know him privately, then you will be very surprised. He said, I have observed you. and I was a little bit, is it all right what you have observed or is it not all right? You know, like we are when someone puts his close eyes on us. We hope he will not see the things which we try to hide to the, for the world. I have observed you, he said. He said, I'm quite interested what you have seen. Well, I have seen he is an individual who grows old and who thinks about his life. Yes, you have observed properly. And I have seen that you want to be Krishna conscious. Yes, that's true. I very much wish this. And I have seen that your own desire to become Krishna conscious, you want to share what you discover in this process with the world. Yes, I want to preach what is inside my heart and want to give it to the world. You have observed it right. Then why don't you share with the world your deepest secret? Oh no, Bhavishambhu, I am not up to this. I keep my secret secret. He said, you can talk in a general way. And it took me 3 years to think about this. And today I think I will start to talk about what is very dear to my heart. My dear devotees, every devotee comes in his or her life to a point where he or she needs to see, am I going to take this very serious, this Krishna consciousness, or do I practice it more like a belief, like a religion? In other words, my other life is in the center and I add Krishna. You remember the excellent list of His Holiness Keshava Maharaj, who distinguished between a religious observance of Krishna consciousness and a more confidential devotee, someone who goes deep. I think everyone comes to this point repeatedly. And I've always believed that the deep spiritual things cannot be the property of only one tradition. And to introduce to you carefully one of my main secrets, I want to lead you to the insight of Brother Lawrence, a simple monk in the medieval times who was doing kitchen service in a monastery. These were rough times. There was no good heating in the winter. He's from the, I believe, 13th century. He's very, very old. And he did all the things. He came relatively late into the monastery. He was 50 plus years old. And one day in the kitchen, he thought, what's the point of all this, what we do in this monastery of, you know, I have to do kitchen seva, and then I have to pray morning time, midday time, afternoon time, and midnight. They get up at midnight. They want to, why do we do all this? And he came up with a very simple point. It was in the kitchen where he all of a sudden felt God spoke to him that we do this to always be, these are his words, in the presence of God. Here the Padma Purana expresses this same thing a little bit different. We should always remember Krishna, and we should never forget him. This means we should be always with God. And he describes It's a very small little book, and it's very simple language. He's a simple man, but his language has echoed through the Christianity and has even reached modern psychologists who have all understood, yes, you are where your mind is. Whatever you hold in your mind and in your heart, that describes most accurately where you are. There was once a rain, a heavy monsoon in India. There's always heavy monsoons. Every year is a heavy monsoon. But there were two Vaishnavas who were walking. They wanted to go. They were on a pilgrimage. And a heavy, heavy monsoon overcame them. So the one, so they needed to really run for shelter. Have you ever been in the monsoon in India? Have you noticed how heavy the downpour is? It's really, you have to run for your life. This is how you feel. It's really like Govardhan, like not Govardhan, like Indra Leela. So they both needed to. They just, you know, when it starts, you have to. There's only one word. Run! So they ran, and one got accommodation in one house, and the other wanted to find shelter in a temple. So it took him a little longer, but he managed to finally reach that temple. So when the sky cleared, it turned out that this one Vaishnava found shelter just opposite to a house of prostitution. There were several ladies doing this not this work or whatever, this profession, or I don't know how to call it. And the other Vaishnava really had made it into the temple. He didn't believe it, and they had a discussion. They met the next day, and they decided, I will stay in the temple. And the other said, I've put already my things down. I will stay in the house just opposite to this other place. So they stayed for some time in this town. This one Vaishnava who had who stayed in this unusual neighborhood or objectionable neighborhood felt, I cannot leave my host who has given me shelter when I was in the monsoon, and he has begged me to stay at his house, but I really wish I would be in the temple. And he was all the time thinking of the temple. The other Vaishnava, who was in the temple, find fault with his godbrother who stayed close to this place. No? So both of them left their bodies. This is how the story goes. It's a little folk story, but it makes a deep point. They were friends, so they both left the body at the same time. And the one was going to the spiritual world, and the other had to go back to the material world. And they were informed that this Vaishnava, who was all the time thinking of the temple and so on, was going back to the spiritual world, whereas this other Vaishnava, who was full of fault finding and who was thinking of these poor ladies on the opposite side of the street, had to go, I forgot where, you know, something with related to his thought. My dear devotees, during this life you are where your mind is, and after your life, when you have finished this, you will go where your mind is. It is so important where you what you think. It is more important. I have met devotees in the movement for Krishna consciousness who are more materialistic than people who live a material life and who think of God. I have seen more faithful people in the world as a preacher than sometimes in our own movement. Yes, you can be dressed up in a devotee, and it's perhaps a nice dress for some, but the more invisible things are much, much, much more deciding of whether you live a spiritual life or not. And this verse makes it very clear. Why is it so important to think about Krishna? Well, Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita that manmana bhava mat bhakto, always think of me and become my devotee. And he repeats this verse twice in the Gita, and it is the light-giving verse, the paribhas sita Keshava Maharaj, what is the Parabhasa Sutra? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, just like a light which you put in a dark room will light up the entire room so that you can see what's in the room, pictures, blackboard, something here, and most important, the altar and the deities. So the Paribhasa Sutra will light up, it's in the middle of the scripture, it will light up whatever else is important in the scriptures. It will put it all into the right perspective. And this point, to always remember Krishna, not forget him, appears right in the middle of the Bhagavad Gita, in the ninth chapter, and so that we can remember it nicely, it again appears in the 18th chapter. It is the main point. Brother Lawrence got it right when he stood there in his kitchen in the 13th century and understood the point of all this is to feel in the presence of the God all the time, or remember him all the time. He got the point. And I had been going since a long time every year to Vrindavan, and I stayed 1 month locked away from the world and just chanted Krishna from morning till as late as I could manage it, because I found out in this verse, Prabhupada says, you can remember Krishna when you chant 24 hours a day. And I almost managed. On some days I managed 24 hours, but not always. I'm I'm from North Germany. We are tired people because it's always so cold. So yes, but I really tried my best. And I must tell you, now as an elderly person, I think this is the opportunity of Krishna consciousness, to remember Krishna throughout the day, and to train that in the beginning. Every one of us will remember Krishna through different ways, as we are made, and our Keshava Maharaj will introduce us very soon to one method to put your internal life, your inner life, in order, so that everything is favorable for your spiritual path of remembering Krishna. There is one verse which Prabhupada liked to chant. I was very fortunate when Prabhupada visited our temple, Schloss Rettershof, that is near Frankfurt, a beautiful castle. I think it was a wonderful place which Prabhupada liked very much. He said, I like your he said Schloss in a Bengali way, Schloss. and he liked it very much. He had very fond memories of it. And yes, I had the opportunity to watch Prabhupada a little privately because I was guarding his door. We were all so young and so loud. Young people are very loud. So I had to always tell, psh, 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 Prabhupada is behind the door. He does his translation service or what. Or he does, please take, consider it and so on. So many hours I was sitting there. I was doing BBT service, translating. And one time I remember Prabhupada came out of the room. The devotees, this was in the afternoon, the devotees were on Sankirtan, book distribution. And he passed me, he noticed me, but I put my head down to write, to give him his space, you know, not stare at him, but to let him walk and be peaceful and so on. And he was walking very majestically. When you would see Prabhupada, he was extremely a person from another world. He was his movements were just very gracious and very different than any other person you could see. Just very. Some have tried to describe it with the word aristocratic, but how does an aristocrat move? There are many aristocrats who move differently. They wanted to say it was very dignified, you know, and so on. So, and he was saying something, and he stood at the balustrade and looked down, and I heard some words of a verse. I did not at that time know what verse this is. Then he went into his room. There was a harmonium and he was singing in his room. I heard it very clearly. And because I'm a little bit impossible sometimes, I opened the door a little. I wanted to hear the room, what he was singing, and I heard again a fragment. Later, I heard this verse on a tape. It started with Krishna Tvadiya Padapankancha Panjarantam. When I put my ear in the door, I only heard Krishna, and then something else, Tva or so. But it was this verse, and this verse describes the final examination of a devotee. Where he will be tested? What will be the important question? Can I read this verse in the English language for you? My Lord Krishna, I pray that the swan of my mind may immediately sink down to the stems of the lotus feet of your lordship and be locked in their network. We live just next to a lake, and sometimes there are swans, and we have really big swans there. I mean, we have made photos of swans which with a body like this. They really look like Manasarova swans. And they come sometimes. Now they don't come so often because we have heard we should not feed them. They cannot digest bread and so on. But when you feed them, they always come. So they come and then they sink down their head and they they do something in German language is called gründeln. That means they go with their head to the bottom of the lake and they find some eatables there. All kinds of vegetarian things and so on. I have never tried. There must be a variety of food which they can find. They are very satisfied there. So, in the same way, King Kula Shekhar seems to say, let the swan of my mind, who swims at so many different places, you know, these swans throughout the day swim everywhere, let him come and let him sink his head down and then be locked there. Where is it? Where should it be? So again we hear, it's at Krishna's lotus feet, yes. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my throat is choked up with cough, how will it be possible for me to think of you? So Prabhupada here says, it's so important to think of Krishna. And I should immediately practice this when my body is still healthy. I should not wait. It should be given first priority. I want to quote a second verse for you. I will be in English immediately. What is the benefit of such memory of Krishna? You know, there was this poor Brahmana, Sridham, and is his name Sridham, right? Sridham, the beggar? Or is it Sudama? Sudama, yes, I thought so. Sudama. I got confused because there is two friends of Krishna, Sridham and Sudham, and I always get confused. So, Sudham Brahmana. He was there. I lived there in a place which is now called Sudampur, and his wife told him, we are so poor and I can see you are so emaciated, go and ask your friend Krishna, who is the king of Dwaraka, for some help, financial support, you know, some help. And Sudam did not want to go because he loved Krishna not for material gifts or so. He loved him because he loved him. And but this enlightened wife said, no, you should go to Krishna. And she told her husband, see, Krishna is the teacher of the cosmos. And he has one special quality. He offers even his very self to one who remembers his lotus feet. Krishna will be happy. He will think, oh, Sudam has thought of me. He has come to me. He offers his very self to one who does this. So it goes without saying that he also provides his devotees with wealth and other pleasurable objects which are hardly desirable by them. This was a little bit in her mind, but she got the first point right. Krishna is offering his very self to one who remembers him. But my dear devotees, this must be practiced. Because there is something in spiritual psychology which is called Vyutana Sanskara. This is something that suddenly comes into your mind and disturbs your concentration. Sometimes devotees tell me, oh Maharaji, I had a most disturbing dream in the night. And I say, what do you expect? You have so many experiences in this world, not just from one lifetime, but from other lifetimes as well. And these are called and they have made an impression in your mind, and they come up at times where you really don't want this. This is called Vyutana Sangskara. I do remember this in my own life. The first time I went into the temple room, it was in Hamburg. The devotees were busy and had said to me, look, there is the altar and you will see Radha and Krishna on the altar. So I went and I looked at the altar. Radha Krishna, I only saw tulips. So I went out and said, sorry, you told me I see Radha and Krishna, but I only saw tulips. Tulips are flowers from Holland. Tulpen. What? No. Come with me, said the devotee. And then he brought me out and said, so what do you see? Here, see the red tulips and yellow tulips. He said, don't you see something in the middle? In the middle? Because it was so surprising. It was never seen before by me. My mind didn't register it. It could only register what it knew. And only with the help, I said, oh yeah, yeah, well, these little dolls, not dolls! He almost killed me. And then I said, I don't know anything, tell me. I didn't know that I made a mistake, you know, you please tell me. You see according to what you are trained to see. And there are many unpleasant things which are not favorable for Krishna consciousness. They come at the most unwanted thing, and all you're in the society of the devotees, and all of a sudden you remember child abuse or something. It has to do something with the society of the devotees, but it may not have. You want to think of Krishna. You should think of Krishna, really. My dear devotees, you must train your mind, because the mind is trained to see the ugly things of the world. And so on. And if you don't go into this school of training your mind, you won't pass the final examination. Like you would like to pass it. When you chant, my dear devotees, I'm here repeating our Keshava Maharaj. Please know the beads, the nice beads from Radhakund with nice Jai Sri Radhe carved inside. You will have to leave them. What you will take with you are the moments where you were absorbed in Krishna. Your impressive library of Krishna conscious books and extracurriculum books. You will leave all this behind. You will only take the wisdom with you. Your dress, your contacts, everything lost. Your mobile phone, everything lost. What is on there? You will only take with you those moments when you served, perhaps, when you were, they will be useful for you. So please go running for the treasures. Try to, and these treasures are things which are inside. They have not to do with the external world. Try to go for the memories of Krishna. Because Krishna, the teacher of the whole entire universe, offers his very self to one who remembers his lotus feet. Therefore, the Garuda Purana, and I will end here, says, if even a moment is spent bereft of the remembrance of Bhagavan, one should cry out loudly, oh, 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 as if plundered by decoys. Imagine a man sitting on the road crying, "Oh, I was in this rickshaw. Then the dacoits came and they took all my money. They took my mobile telephone. They took my wristwatch," and so on. He's lamenting because he feels the most important things in his life are gone, plundered. So even a moment is spent, even a moment is spent where you cannot remember Krishna, one should cry out loudly. This human form of life was meant for this. And I saw this with Prabhupada when he recited this verse, Krishna Tvadiya Padapankaja. You can find it in the Google system. Krishna Tvadiya Padapankaja Panjara. Tom, he goes really in the cellar with his voice then, at the last. And you can see how his voice is trembling because it engaged his inner life. I must remember Krishna. And my mind, which is like a swan swimming everywhere, should come to the lotus feet. And again, you must train it. Here are a few suggestions for those of you who take notes and those of you who are interested in these things. Let's start with chanting. When you chant, try to chant Krishna conscious rounds. You might like to sit before a deity or an image of a deity and chant their connected rounds. If you are in a situation where there is no deities, or if you walk, you can remember, I'm chanting Krishna's name, and you can pray to Krishna, please accept me. No? Make it connected rounds, not mindless rounds, no? Mindful rounds. A second tip is, when you do your services, don't curse the temple commander who said you must wash the pots. You know, think, I'm washing the pots for Krishna. You know, try to relate what you do, in other words, with Krishna. This is when you do devotional service for Krishna. Anya bilashita shunyam yanagam jnana kamadhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishna Anu. No, it should be favorable for Krishna. You should please him. When you peel the potato, this for you, Krishna. When you talk to someone, I'm doing this for you, Krishna, because you want that your glories are spread to the conditioned souls. Connect your service not with likes on Facebook, which you want to have, but with Krishna. No? Krishna, Krishna. Maybe develop the habit to say Krishna, Krishna. Or as Mahaprabhu would always say, Hari, Hari. He would always say Hari, Hari. You find in Chaitanya Bhagavat. No? Another is reading. Reading. When you read, I liked the idea of svadaya, self-study, in other words. Try to not read pages, you know, for pages. You know, try to read until you can touch something, and then with your mind, and then stop and reflect about it. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's recommendation. You read not to, oh, today I finished 2.5 pages. I'm talking humorously. Today I finished this much. But you should go to a point and then remember this, no? And try to perhaps live by the point, which, if it is a do point, where you say. Reading is very good. I have discovered something which you might find interesting. The last thought with which you go to bed will usually travel through a tunnel in your subconscious mind, and you will wake up with this. Like yesterday, I chanted a few verses, because how can you not when you have someone like Hari Parshad, you know? He said, okay, I need to polish my Sanskrit a little. So I said, sang a few verses, and lo and behold, in the morning, these verses were still there in my mind. It's not good to see agitating things or think about agitating things. Think about Krishna before you go to bed, or simply say a prayer or like this. These are few things. More will come. I intend to give a seminar on this. I will call it the inner life of a devotee in Switzerland, and I want to go into meditation based on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I've done a lot of study on this for the devotee book, Smaranam. See, I've already here are the five forms of meditation and examples how to do each one of them and so on. But this goes too far this morning. Also, I'm looking at the time. I request now His Holiness Swayam Bhagavan Keshava Maharaj to come. Please excuse me, I'm a little physically tired. What to do? I need to go for treatment. I need to go. Afterwards, I will be not so tired. Good. Good, 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 good. Do you remember the main point of this lecture? Do you think you can remember that? Is this possible to hold in the mind? Good. Then my next thing is, try to... what could you do to do this? Please turn to your neighbor now and talk about ideas you got while Keshava Maharaj sets up. You can do this. Just find a neighbor. Quick, 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 quick. Should I stay? Maybe for optical reasons I can stay. Yes, yes. Jai Gopal, your neighbor. No.
Minutes, then
open it. Oh, no. As long as it takes. As long as it takes. We have still. See, we can enter at 9:30. As long as it takes, now we don't need to.
Are you happy to use?
Yeah.
Are you happy to use?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good. Can you connect it? I don't know how to connect it.
Okay.
Haribo! Hare Krishna. Yes. So, I hope you got something out of this. And please, what you talked with your neighbor, please do it also. No? And I see always some devotees who don't like to talk. Some of you have avoided to pick a neighbor, and it is natural because some of us are not so talkative. That's all right. But please also do try to see how you can practice your remembrance of Krishna. Enough said, now we will listen very attentively to our Keshava Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Maharaj. Om Gyan Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you, Sachinandan Maharaj, for opening up this beautiful topic. I'll share some thoughts and then we can also have some discussion. So I'll just show some things. When Maharaj was speaking about how we have to leave everything behind, you know, our beads, our library. Once I made a prayer to Krishna, maybe I can at least take my laptop with me. But I think Krishna said, no, not even your laptop. But while we have it, we'll use it. And I wanted to actually say, Maharaj, I find Maharaj a very mystical person. Whatever topics he brings up are very... they really strike a chord. Last year we did the Swiss retreat and Maharaj picked the topic of transformation. And it was such a beautiful topic that in the year, ever since then, in the last 10 months, it's become a real meditation for me. And here Maharaj has opened up the topic of remembrance. And it's very interesting because someone said something to me recently which really made me think about remembrance, which was very much in line with what you said. And the person said to me, it was a nice wordplay. They said, it's nice to be absorbed in your service, but do you also realize it's a service to be absorbed in Krishna? So I'll just say that again. They said to me, it's nice to be absorbed in service, but did you also know that it's a service to be absorbed in Krishna? And so that really got me thinking about absorption and remembrance of Krishna. And today Maharaj opened up that topic. So I just wanted to share something. But before I do that, I just wanted to read this verse. I always found this verse very, very interesting. This is a verse from the fourth canto. And I'm just going to ask you if you can see something interesting. The message is very relevant to what we're talking about today, but there's also something interesting about this verse and how it's been translated, and I want to see if you can pick it up. So I'll just say it. Yatra dyante katha mrishtas trishnaya prashamogata Nirveram yatra bhuteshu nodvego yatra kaschana. So this is from the end of the fourth canto. Whenever the pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from any anxiety or fear. Now, so this makes sense, and all of us have this experience. We're here on this retreat, and while we're in this kind of transcendental bubble, everything makes sense. To some extent, you forget the world. Some of the envy or the anxieties or the fears kind of just disappear. Of course, now it's Monday, and we're going to start moving out of this bubble, and then things start coming back. But can you see something interesting in this verse that Srila Prabhupada has done? At least for the time being. It's interesting. Srila Prabhupada inserts this, even though I'm not again a Sanskrit scholar, but to me it looks like in the word for word meaning, this doesn't appear. But seems as though Srila Prabhupada has just put it in there. That, you know, while you're discussing topics, everything is fine, everything is good. At least for that time, you know, there's no envy, there's no anxiety, there's no fear. But as soon as you're out of that bubble, then it all comes flooding back. You have that experience? Yeah, it's like that, isn't it? I want to ask you another thing. Have you ever had the experience of a devotee coming to you asking a question that you know they know the answer to? Yes. Has that ever happened? Have you ever done that? You ask someone a question and in your mind you already, in one sense, you know the answer. Why do you think people ask you the question they already know the answer to, and they keep doing it again and again and again? Why do you think that is? Any ideas?
It's a different angle of wisdom.
Okay, so sometimes it may just be that they're looking for a different angle or a different perspective. They think they know the answer, but maybe not. Yeah, good point. Okay, they just want confirmation. Okay, you're all very positive thinkers. You're trying to see the good side of it. That's nice.
Challenge.
Challenge? Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Maybe see if there is some difference of opinion.
Oh, okay. So you want to see whether they may have a different perspective or a different, you know, a challenging opposition to that. Yeah, okay, good.
They want
you to change their mind. Yeah. Okay, that's a good one.
They want to tell you their answer.
They're just asking you because actually they want to tell you their answer. They don't want to actually hear from you. Okay, that's a good one as well.
Yeah. Evaluation to fathom how much you know.
Oh, they're checking you out. They don't want to answer. They're just seeing if you know the answer. Okay, that's, yeah. Sometimes I feel like that also on the Vyasas when people ask me questions. Yeah. To deepen their understanding, yeah?
They're looking for help if their answer is true, so that they will go further.
Okay, good.
It's a kind of affirmation.
An affirmation? They want confirmation of what they're already thinking, yeah?
They want to hear the answer again just because they enjoy it.
Oh, they enjoy hearing the answer, okay, good.
Convinced and learn practical tips to do what they are.
Okay, wow. This is why interactive is so good, because the answer I had was none of your answers. But now I have another 15 answers. Next time I do this seminar, I'll express them. Thank you for giving me the content. There could be many more, and I see many more hands, but one thing that occurred to me is that often people know the answer to something, but because their emotions are too high, they are not able to access their intelligence. Have you noticed? In the world, they used to think that the most successful people in the world were the people who had the highest IQs, the highest intelligence. But then later on, they realized that if you have IQ, but you don't have EQ. EQ means emotional quotient. If you don't have the ability to control your emotions, what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Krodha dbhavati sammoha. Krishna says when you anger comes, then from anger comes complete delusion. Krodha dbhavati. So if you don't have EQ, if you don't have the ability to control your emotions, then you can't actually access your intelligence. And therefore, for many of us, in life, we know what we're supposed to do. We know the answer. But because our emotions are too high, because our head is filled with so many material chaos, we can't actually remember Krishna. There's no space to remember Krishna because our thoughts are hijacked by something else. So what I wanted to share with you is His Holiness Achyananda Maharaj has been talking about remembering Krishna. And just for 10 minutes, I'll share with you a technique which has been very powerful for me, which many of you may have heard me speak about previously. But I think this can be a very, very powerful way for you to see Krishna, to remember Krishna, to bring Krishna into all your experiences of life. And that is the technique of writing. We often do this seminar called Write and Be Happy. Not that we're replacing chanting with writing, but we want to add writing. If I was to ask, how many of you write on a weekly basis something? Okay. Actually, very few. Maybe that's 10%. I think many of you may want to consider writing as a very, very powerful means to find Krishna in your life. Actually, If you see our sampradaya, sometimes they call our sampradaya the sampradaya of the pen, because everyone was actually writing. We have Chaitanya Charitamrita because Murari Gupta wrote a diary. We have knowledge of the life of our acharyas because Naratam, Shyamananda, other devotees wrote diaries. We know about Bhaktivinoda Thakur because someone wrote diaries. Did Srila Prabhupada write a diary? Yeah, he wrote a diary. He wrote a diary while he was on the Jaladuta. He wrote a diary while he was in 26 Second Avenue. He was also writing a diary, a journal. Did Srila Prabhupada's followers write diaries? Yeah, you have Tamo Krishnamurti TKG's diary, which documents everything that went on in Prabhupada's final days, Harisauri Prabhu's transcendental diary. So writing a diary, writing a journal, is something that is very, very much a part of our tradition. And sometimes we think, oh no, I'm not a writer, I'm not an author, I'm not someone who's going to publish, you know, to the world. But actually there's two purposes of writing. And often we only think of writing as something which is employed in order to express thoughts. Write an article for the world, write a book for the world, write an email message for the world. Be careful. We often only think of writing when we want to express thoughts to someone else. But do you think writing could be used for another purpose? Maybe it's not just for expressing thoughts. What else could it be used for?
Clarifying thoughts.
Clarifying thoughts?
Introspection.
Introspection. Yes, it can also be used to discover your thoughts. Because when you write, what happens is you see the chaos of your mind in front of you on a piece of paper. And then when you see it in front of you on a piece of paper, then you have the opportunity to edit that. And what I often say is, when I edit my journal, I feel like I'm editing my own consciousness. It's a very, very powerful means. Maharaj today talked about Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence.
Yeah.
Yes. And here's another Catholic monk, Thomas Merton, many of you may have heard. If I'm not mistaken, he also wrote an appreciation of Srila Prabhupada. But he was a very introspective Trappist monk. And his biographer wrote this about him. He was a prolific author. He wrote many, many amazing works. But this is what his biographer said about him. His most vital writing is private, what he did for himself, because he made constant notes to help clarify things for himself. He thought and sought to express experience on paper as a self-guide rather than to reveal anything. He sought to get rid of the role, to flee the role of the monk in order to become the monk. To be and not merely appear to be. These are the great and profound differences which few perceive, even in the religious life. It's very, very profound. They're actually, in this paragraph, there are incredible, many messages. But one of the main things that's being expressed is that there's a certain deep introspection that comes from writing. And often your writing, your private time, the world won't see that. But this is what forms the substance of one's deep spiritual life. If you see this diagram, basically we have an impulsive self and we have a reflective self. The impulsive sense itself is our mind and senses, what comes into us through the world, our memories of the past. Many of us carry many, many different baggages. Maharaj, you mentioned this samskara. What is it called?
Vyutana
samskara. Things come from the past. So we have this impulsive self in which so many emotions, thoughts, memories, traumas, biases come. But then we also have a reflective self. which is the higher intelligence, the intelligence which comes from Shastra. The reflective self is what can see Krishna's hand in everything that happens in life. But oftentimes, when we're going through life, because for most of us, our impulsive self is so loud, generally in life, there's very little chance for the reflective self to come out. Because every time something happens, we generally respond to it through the impulsive self. But what happens when you do something like journaling or introspection is it helps you to come away from the chaos of everything and now begin to bring the impulsive self and the reflective self together. It gives you an opportunity to see your emotions, to see your thoughts, to see your fears, but from a higher perspective. And that is very, very powerful, because in that quiet time of journaling, you can not only bring in higher intelligence, Shastric intelligence, but you can also bring in the presence of Krishna, seeing Krishna's hand in everything that is happening. And therefore, this is a really, really powerful opportunity for everyone to experience this. So I began journaling like maybe, over 20 years ago. So I have like 20 years of journals. And I have to say it's like one of the most powerful things. Sometimes people think, it's a waste of time. What are you going to do? Just sit down and think? Sit down and write your thoughts? Prabhu, get off the mental platform. Is it worth it to spend half an hour writing a journal? Isn't that just speculation, just churning thoughts in your mind? Like, wouldn't it be more beneficial to read 30 minutes of the Bhagavatam? What do you think? Is it really worth it to sit down for 30 minutes and write all of your thoughts? We're told not to speculate. But Prabhupada says a devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. So sometimes there's a misconception that thinking is speculation. But thinking is not necessarily speculation. Thinking can also be to be introspective. So let me just quickly ask you, what do you think is the difference between introspection and speculation? How would you identify whether spending 30 minutes down, sitting down and thinking is deep introspection or is just speculation, churning thoughts in your mind, which isn't really going anywhere? How would you be able to tell the difference? Yeah.
Maybe one thing is to see, the speculation for me would be more that I'm increasing my identification with the mind, but introspection is I'm taking a step back, actually gaining some distance.
Okay, so introspection means to step away from your mind and your immediate emotions and see it. And how do you step away and see it? Yeah. How do you? What do you use in order to step away from your own emotions? What you have to see through some lens. So what lens are you then seeing through? Yeah. To step away from our emotions and see something through Guru Sadhu Shastra. So if you're just thinking about things, that doesn't mean you're introspecting. It only becomes introspection when you're seeing everything through the lens of Guru Sadhu Shastra. Very good. What else could be the difference? Yeah.
Also, on that note, introspection is we reflect what we read in Shastra, and then we observe what happens in the internal and external reality without interpreting it and see, okay, this now happened, interesting, how does that correlate to...
Okay, that's a very good point. Yeah, rather than... someone said something interesting to me which always stuck with me. They said, a Kanista Adhikari sees the Shastra through their emotions, but a Madhyam Adhikari sees their emotions through the Shastra. So that always stuck with me, that we tend to look at the world very, very emotionally, But what happens is that we are able to then step away through introspection and see through the Shastra without placing our emotions there and see our emotions through the Shastra. Very good. Thank you. Yes. Excellent. Excellent. Yes. Introspection means to always be asking the question, where is Krishna in all of this? Where is Krishna? What is he doing? What is he trying to teach me? What is why has he moved it in this way? So always trying to bring Krishna into the equation, remembrance of Krishna. Very good. Yes. What else could be the difference at the back? Yeah. Yeah, if you there's a clear way to know whether you're introspeculating or speculating, because after you speculate you'll be more confused. And after you introspect, generally there should be some more clarity because we're doing it like this. Very good. Yes, someone else. Yeah, at the back. Excellent point. Yes. Speculation is just like a rocking chair. You're just moving back and forth, but it's not going anywhere. There's no tangible action. There's no change, no transformation, no plan. But introspection then processes something and then says, like, yes, now I'm going to go into the world and do this. So it has a tangible outcome. Yeah, very good. Yeah, these are all amazing points. I think you got them. And so just one other thing that wasn't said is that introspection is also accompanied by consultation. Whereas speculation is just you doing it yourself. So for something to be truly introspection, we also take help from the Vaishnavas and try to clarify our thoughts, clarify our thinking through their guidance. And then it makes it a higher quality of contemplation. So the reason I'm just showing this is because sometimes there's a kind of misunderstanding that thinking is bad, you know, that spending time just trying to digest things is not really useless. Really, we should just be in the Shastra, but we need time also to digest that. And that's done through introspection. So yes, I just show one other thing. This is a whole seminar, but I just do one other thing. Because sometimes people say, yeah, I want to journal, but how do I journal? What do I write? And so this is basically what you can do. You can sit down once every few days, once a week, and just write about this. What's inspiring you? What is interesting you? What's scaring you? Clarify the thoughts that are going through your mind. And also, the fifth one here is very important, solidify your realizations. You know, like you go through life and you get realizations, don't you? If you write those realizations down and you explain them to yourself, I guarantee you those realizations will go much deeper. Those impressions of Krishna's hands will go much deeper. So there's something to be said where writing is also not just about discovery, but it's also about solidifying experiences and thoughts. And yeah, when you go to write a journal entry, write your observations of the day. What happened? What events happened? Who did you speak to? What conversations did you have? What did you learn from all of that? Write observations of yourself. How did you act? How did you respond to devotees? In what situations did the best come out of you? In what situations did the worst come out of you? observations of the world. Have you noticed how Srila Prabhupada, he was in a car and he'd always see something and learn something? Once Prabhupada was in, I think it was Russell Square, and he saw bird droppings. So he stopped and he said, "What does this mean?" I mean, it's bird droppings and all. Prabhupada said, "This means even the birds get attached to their tree." That was like, it was an interesting, you know, because the birds have been in the tree for so long, and then all this, you know, bird droppings were there. So Prabhupada made a, even one time Mukunda Maharaj had come back from the bank, and Prabhupada said, "Where's the receipt?" And this was in London, and they didn't give a receipt. So he said, "But there's no receipt?" She said, "No, the bank teller didn't give me a receipt." Prabhupada said, "This signifies the end of the British Empire." I said, like, really? Wow. That's an interesting observation. Because Prabhupada said the British were known for their organization and efficiency and incredible attention to detail. But the fact that he didn't give you a receipt means they're losing it. So it's interesting, you begin to observe lessons, like, yes, we should walk through the world, observe lessons, write them down. And then observations of Krishna, we want to remember Krishna. Yes, Krishna is there in our life, he's acting. Krishna is there. Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddhe se arjuna tisthati brahmayan sarva bhutani. Krishna says, "I'm directing the wanderings of all living entities." Like, Krishna is right, directing everything. But can we see him? Can we perceive that? So, I want to encourage everyone, please write. And it goes with a caution, because what will happen is you may start writing and after a week or two, you'll close your book, you'll put your pen down and you'll say, "I don't want to do this because I don't have anything to write about. When I write and I sit down, I feel I don't have any thoughts. I feel so superficial when I write. There's nothing to write about. I keep writing. I woke up at this time, I ate this, and then I did this, and then I went to sleep. Like, how many days am I just going to keep writing about this?" But when you're writing, it's actually you. We come face to face with our own superficiality. Oftentimes I've sat down to write and I just think, "I am so superficial. I don't have any realizations. I don't have any depth whatsoever." And in that moment, you have to close your eyes, you have to dig deeper, and you have to look for Krishna. And lo and behold, all of these thoughts and realizations start coming out that you never knew were there, but you have to go through the struggle. One writer once told me, the process of writing is PIP. Perspiration, inspiration, perspiration. Most of the time when you write, it just feels like it can be quite hard work, but flashes of inspiration, visions of Krishna will come. And the final thing I'll share with you is, even sometimes if you don't feel writing in the moment is necessarily, you'll be amazed when you look at what you wrote 10 years ago. You'll be amazed at what you read when you see what you wrote 20 years ago. I have like a journal nearly 25 years now, so sometimes I just open it and I see, what did I write on this day 10 years ago, 20 years ago? And it's fascinating. Because you see Krishna in all of that. You see how Krishna is moving things and you see a journey going on, and it brings Krishna consciousness alive. It brings Krishna's reciprocation alive. So this is my humble... just few ideas to complement Maharaj's point of remembering Krishna as maybe something practical you can do to remember Krishna. Write about Krishna, write about how Krishna is acting in your life, and try to find Krishna through this beautiful process. Here it is, Rupa Goswami writing in Vrindavan. So we are Rupanugas. So yeah, these were some thoughts. Hare Krishna. Thank you. That's it. I don't know, Maharaj, if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Well spoken. In order to remember Krishna, we need to churn up our inner muscles, so to say. I like this point very much, and I would like to share with you how I learned to write. I mean, you all must know I'm not like Keshava Maharaj, who is a student of. He has gone through the university, he is writing like anything, but I also write books. I found out the way I learned to write and solidify my often so introspective thoughts is I wrote letters to people. I met people and then wrote letters. And I think that's how you get into the practice. Of course, here we heard about journaling, that's more for yourself. Not with the idea to publish, but if you, you know, there is something in the human mind. You may journal, I got up at this time, I ate breakfast at that time, and then lunch came, and then I went to sleep. that kind of blunder you can do in private. But imagine you write your friend 50 letters like this, you would say, don't write me, I know what you're going to write. So when you write, you have to go by these things here. What did you observe in the day? How did you react, observation of yourself? And so on, no? And what are your realizations about Krishna? That really helped. I would like to say another thing about journaling, writing just for oneself. Professor Jinks gave me once an idea which I implemented in my Japa retreats. He said, when we are at the end of the Japa retreat, we write from this position our insights, our realizations, perhaps our empathy, we write to ourselves in 12 months. Recommendations. It really works. I chanted and I was connected with Krishna and so on. Then these letters, which were written in the moment, are given to the temple, and the temple sends out the letter to you after 12 days. And you receive a letter that you have written addressing yourself 12 months ago when you were in good consciousness. And it is transformational. I have already two such letters, and they have really carried me. And I think you hinted that when you said, when you read your journal, there are some insights which you had 10 years ago or so, which are really speaking to you even now. See, you must all know, my dear devotees, we are most of the time in our small mind. And very rarely we are in our big Krishna conscious mind. Hopefully you are now in your big mind. But most of the time we are in a small mind. And journaling can really help you to get into the big mind so that you're not bogged down by these small, insignificant thoughts of your brain.
Thank you for your beautiful lecture. This was really great. I think you heard maybe also of the method, the way of the artist. So it's in the, I'm practicing this a little bit, not now, but when I'm home again. So when you stand up, you wake up and you're writing a minimum of 3 pages, whatever comes there. So sometimes it's also just blah, blah, but you write. So that's interesting because you make your mind a little bit more empty, and that for me prepares better to chant, for example. Mm. And also dreams come up, whatever, and your unconscious is a little bit open more up. So this is really helpful as well, because you start in the morning with that, and then you're like kind of more fresh to go into whatever you want to do, right?
Yes, thank you.
So, and a second thing I want to ask, isn't it that we need also speculation in the way of bring it more in polarity instead of the duality, that we need also introspection but also speculation. So to balance that, right? And not saying, oh, this is actually not a good thing, but this is actually the better thing, because I think everybody is speculating as well. And I'm thinking, I was listening to a lecture, what was it, Introctination at, or an education from Krishna Shipra Maharaj. And he said also that something, a philosophical speculation is actually permitted.
Yeah.
So I really like that point, because everybody is also doing this a little bit, right? So, and not to put it like, oh no, we can't do that. So, so I think it's also very important to have that. And,
yeah, really excellent point. I'm really happy you brought that up. I kind of put this introspection and speculation, and I kind of juxtaposed them like that. But actually, yes, there's a difference between mental speculation and philosophical speculation. Mental speculation means when we're just churning thoughts without any kind of reference points, or without reference to kind of higher spiritual principles of Shastra and Guru and like that. But philosophical speculation means like within the boundaries of Guru, Sadhu, Shastra and the principles of the, or the posts that they give us, what Guru Sadhu Shastra does is it almost builds like a football field, because it tells you these are principles of reality. For example, like the 5 topics of the Gita, like the football field. But then within that, you can play, you can think, you can be creative, you can see what it means for you and what Krishna's actually saying. As long as it's within the bounds of Guru Sadhu Shastra, because that's the principles of reality. So then we stay within the spirit, like the ultimate reality. But we are also individual, and definitely even you see like commentaries, the commentaries on the Shastra, different acharyas are having different insights, and they are explaining things in different ways, because. Like this, I show you. What is that verse? Yeah, because this is even mentioned by Krishna Tulya. This is even mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if I'll be able to find it. Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhusharva Shray Prati Shloke Prati Akshare Nana Arthakai. Srimad Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna, the Supreme Lord and Shelter of everything. In each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and in each and every syllable, there are various meanings. So yes, we have to think, we have to see from different angles of vision. There's lots of room for spiritual creativity. It's not that we become devoid of thinking. Prabhupada said a devotee is as introspective. So definitely it's a very... So yeah, thank you for sharing that. Wonderful.